Exodus chapter 10. Let's read from the verse number 21 with the help of our Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let him go. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me. Take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. Let us kneel down and worship the Lord in prayer and thanksgiving. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we desire to thank Thee for this blessed word of Thine. We thank Thee, O Lord, and we praise Thee from our weak hearts for Thy great goodness and mercy. For Thou hast delivered Thy people from the land of their bondage, their slavery. Thou hast led them with a mighty hand, O Lord. And we pray today, O Heavenly Father, as we read these verses and as we go through the passages, that Thou grant us an open heart and mind to remember how Thou hast led us from the world of sin and iniquity, how Thou hast carried us through many difficulties, O Lord, that we may, O Heavenly Father, search our hearts and see how much of that first love of Thine is still burning in our hearts, O Lord. Thou grant us an open heart and mind to receive the light of Thy truth, to receive Thy new revelation, to accept Thy correction, to follow Thy guidance, O Lord. Make us Thou faithful, O God. Make us obedient. And bless Thy holy word in our hearts and multiply Thy word, O Lord. Make this word of Thine the rule of our daily walk, our bread from heaven, and as a fountain of life. That as we read these verses, O Lord, that Thy Holy Spirit may work upon our hearts and minds, O God. As we read, as we meditate, O Heavenly Father, may we hear the voice of Thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, calling us, teaching us. And Thou, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, give us the whole armor of faith. And Thou continually purify us and sanctify us. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, make us Thy faithful witnesses, that we may also proclaim Thy word as Thy servant Moses did. So saith the Lord God Almighty, let my people go. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou teach us to walk with a humble heart before Thee, and that Thou grant us a courageous heart as we walk through this wilderness. Grant us, O Heavenly Father, to worship Thee with our whole heart, with love and gratitude, in spirit and in truth. To worship Thee through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to keep our Redeemer as our Lord and Master, O Lord. Make us Thou faithful. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, may our daily walk be a living testimony of Thine, that Thou hast delivered us from the slavery of sin, that we are walking that new life in Christ, that we have passed from death to life. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou make us true followers of the Savior. Holy Father, may Thy grace be the healing power, the sustaining power. May Thy grace be sufficient for all our needs. May Thy grace, O Lord, make us and keep us Thine own continually. Holy Father, as we watch the children of Israel being liberated and led out of the land of Egypt, grant us, O Lord God Almighty, that we also seek that full liberty in Christ, and that in Him, by the Spirit of the Savior, Spirit of obedience, truth, faithfulness, love and peace, we may be united in Christ in that one desire to please Thee, our Heavenly Father, to do Thy will. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thou watch over us and protect us. Thou teach us and guide us. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, even in these last days, proclaim Thy gospel. Exalt the name of the Savior, despised and rejected though it be on this earth. May our souls ever magnify Thy goodness and grace, and all that is within us rejoice in Thy salvation. Gracious Lord, Thou keep us from the filth of the flesh. Thou keep us from the pollution of the world, from the corruption of mind and spirit, O God. Thou daily purify and sanctify us. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from our doubts and fears, ignorance, and false beliefs. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as Thou hast engraved Thy commandments upon the stone plates for the children of Israel, engrave Thy gospel upon the plates of our hearts and fill us with Thy Spirit, that even in these last days Thy word may be proclaimed in purity, in clarity, in the power of Thy Spirit, to Thy name's honor and glory. Amen. Somewhere in the chapter 8, verse 20 and on, we can read a few words. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. We see that in the beginning, Moses and Aaron talked in this manner to Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord. But Pharaoh despised the Lord, and he tortured the children of Israel, and he was very cruel, very awful to them. And they pleaded with him, and he was even more cruel. But now, after so much confrontation, the Lord is encouraging Moses and instructing him not to be intimidated, not to be defeated before Pharaoh. And so the Lord does to every struggling heart that is striving to serve the Lord and to separate himself or herself from the world of sin and iniquity. So the Lord said here in the verse 20, Go and stand before Pharaoh, not to make obeisance, not to bow down before Pharaoh, but to stand before him and to say, Thus saith the Lord. And then the same calling is repeated, Let my people go. And I think it's a very important thing for every struggling heart to hear that calling, Let my people go. The Lord is calling, the Lord is inviting, the Lord is encouraging us, urging us to forsake the world and its vain show. And then the Lord says, Else, if thou, Pharaoh, will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And as we perhaps remember, some of us, that the Egyptians had the gods of the nature or the gods of the organic world, and most of them were somehow divided. There was a god of the seas and the rivers and so on, and there was a god of agriculture, there was a god of rain and the god of flies and reptiles and so on. All kind of gods that were no gods, of course. And now the god that had supposedly in their mythology, in their superstition, the power over the flies, should have delivered the Egyptians, their his people, his nation. He should deliver them and show that he is stronger and greater than the God of heaven and the God of universe. And so Pharaoh is very stubborn, and he will not yield to this sign of God's judgment and God's displeasure with Pharaoh's stubbornness. And so the flies came, and they just swarmed over the land of Egypt, and all the people were tortured really by these flies. And the Lord says in the verse 22, "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." And the Lord did so. When a soul that is striving to forsake the world and to follow the Lord come to that point that person or the persons are separated from the world, that the troubles and sufferings of the world are not troubling us, and the joys of the world are not having any place in our heart. When we are severed, we are on the positive road to victory, toward deliverance. And so we read here that happened. The land of Goshen, where the children of Israel lived, was separated from the rest of the land of Egypt. And the swarms of flies are unbearable to the Egyptians, and especially to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh, in the verse 25, called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." Now, in the beginning, Pharaoh would not allow the people not even to think about serving the Lord God, not even to try some minimal spiritual activity. They have to fall down under their burdens, more work, more persecution, more suffering, because Pharaoh said, "You are idle." That's why you say we want to serve the Lord our God. And here, Pharaoh is trying to compromise. And it's so easy to see Satan in disguise. "Go ye and sacrifice to the Lord your God in the land." As if someone, or as if Satan would say to us today, "Serve the Lord, but be not separated from the world. Continue to be slaves to sin and just go along with the rest of the world and pretend that you are really sacrificing to the Lord." And Moses said, "It is not meet to do. For we shall sacrifice an abomination to the Egyptians, to the Lord our God. Shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us?" If we are part of the world has power over us, and the prince of darkness has his rulership over us. And if we try to serve the Lord and still live in sin, we do not have the whole armor of faith. We do not have the grace of God. Living in sin is rejection of the grace of God. If the children of Israel would agree to remain as slaves of the Egyptians and pretend that they will sacrifice to the Lord, that would be to their own destruction. Moses answered, "It just cannot be. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us, not as you, Pharaoh, will command us." And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." Isn't that amazing? "Entreat for me." He despised the Lord God so many times, and he is still opposing the Lord God with all of his might, and he says, "Entreat for me." Only do not go very far. Don't be too religious. You know, we have to be similar to the world in order to keep the door open for the world. In which direction? If we want to be similar to the world, we keep the door open to join the world, not to get the world delivered and saved. So, why did he say entreat for me? Did Pharaoh really desire God's favor? I think that Satan is such a shamefully shameless character, or lack of it. Such a nasty personality that he dare to claim some blessings and some favor from God in spite of being an enemy. I think he wants to influence us also to be against the Lord our God, to be disobedient and yet to claim his favors, his blessings, and to entreat God to do something to us that we desire, even though we don't want to do what he desires from us. So, we read here, that Moses said unto Pharaoh, behold, I will go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord, that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out, and the Lord removed the flies. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. So, just another warning to every one of us, Satan is not going to be gentle. He's going to be deceitful. He's going to be very stubborn. He's going to be from time to time furious and occasionally threatening as an awful power. And I think we will come to that if we somehow manage, if I manage to go through all these points in this brief time of our meeting. By the end of the chapter 8, we can read that as soon as the plague was removed, Pharaoh's promise was gone. He said, I will let you go, but he did not. Chapter 9, we can read in the verse number 1 again, the calling of the Lord is repeated, something that should echo in the eyes of the Israelites, and something also that is beating right on the head Pharaoh in Pharaoh's rebellion or hardened heart. And so, in the verse number 4, we read again about the separation. The Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is, that belong to the children of Israel. The destruction of the cattle was the next plague. I think that it is very clear that by this destruction of the cattle, another idol of the Egyptians is going to be destroyed. Even today, we have some evidence that the old Egyptians worshipped bulls and calves and so on. And in the scripture, we also find that the Israelites, Aaron, made a golden calf when Moses was up in the mountain receiving the commandments of God. And where did they learn that? In the land of their slavery. So, here, in the verse number 4, the separation is confirmed once again. We had that earlier recorded, and now again, and I think that that's another teaching to us. Once we are separated from the world, do not go back. Do not get entangled in the things of the world. do not seek their fellowship, their support, their encouragement in our serving the Lord, because their encouragement is false. Now, what do I say? Does that mean that none of the those that are not dedicated, that are not Christians, can ever say something good and positive about the Word of God, or encouraging us to keep that? Well, perhaps so, they can. But as long as they are not willing to join that separation and that dedication to serve the Lord, their encouragement is not real encouragement. It's deceitful. They might be intentionally dishonest, or they might be sincerely wrong. But supporting the Word of God without serving the Lord, just with the words, that's not a real support. So, in the verse number 13, we have another one, another calling repeated. The Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. I think that by now, Pharaoh, whenever he saw Moses coming, these words were in Pharaoh's ears. Let my people go. Thus saith the Lord God. What is the next plague? And what is the next deception from Pharaoh? We read further in the verse 14 and on. The Lord says, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. This is especially important for the believers to see that there is none like the Lord in all the earth. To see that the Lord is sending plagues upon the sinful world, and that even the blessings that he gave them, they managed to turn into plagues. Remember the magicians? They managed to duplicate the plagues, but they cannot remove them. Pharaoh had to ask Moses and Aaron to go and entreat the Lord their God to remove the plague. And verse 15 tells us, for now the Lord will stretch out his hand and smite Pharaoh and his people with pestilence, and Pharaoh shall be cut off from the earth. Pharaoh is very near to his destruction. And the Lord says something very interesting in the verse number 16, and in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. If we could only see this all the time, that the Lord has appointed some rulers in this world, that his Lord's power be manifested, clearly revealed, even in their disobedience, in their rebellion. When Stephen, one of the seven deacons, was stoned to death, it was not a defeat of the Lord. It was the Lord's victory. Satan was defeated there. And the visible, clear sign of Satan's defeat was the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. See? And there might have been many other signs that are not recorded. But as we read somewhere by the end of the book of Gospel according to John, these are recorded for that we may know that the Word of God is truth. In the verse number 27, chapter 9, Pharaoh sent and called Moses because the plague was unbearable. The last plague was unbearable to him. He sent and called for Moses and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough, that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. It almost sounds that Satan is repenting. That's just another lie. just another deception. But I can only wish I had the ability to share with you or to present the nature or the personality of Satan more clearly and in a more colorful picture, because just to hear these words, I have sinned this time. What did he do before? He sinned this time? He's multiplying his sins ever since he met Moses first time. But this, the next phrase, the Lord is righteous. I almost think about, those men possessed with demons that met our Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Thou art the Son of God." But whatever Satan says, whether it's partial truth, whether it's just crude lie, he's always lying. He's always trying to deceive. "Entreat the Lord, for it is enough, that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer." And Moses said unto Pharaoh, "As soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord." And so a good amount of the Egyptian crop was destroyed. We read in the verse number 31, the flax and the barley were smitten. There was still something left. The wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up yet. It's very good that Moses said these words, "As for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God." And it's very important for us to know that Satan will be against the Lord God as long as he can. Even when the Lord was casting out evil spirits, we read when the Lord said to the evil spirit, "Get out and come back no more," the spirit cast that child or that man down and tortured him just a few seconds longer and then departed, but could not destroy that soul because the Lord Jesus was there and his healing power cast the evil spirits out. And so we see here that when Pharaoh saw, verse 34, that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more. How satanic. But then how many people do the same? How many people do the same? How many those that profess to be Christians do the same? You know, plead for God's mercy and then sin again, and claim God's grace and they're saved forever, and they seem to be sinning forever. That obviously reveals the power of Satan or the slavery unto sin. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. What did the Lord say to the disciples? Why they were not able to cast out the evil spirit from the child? The Lord says, "Because of your unbelief." And then he says, "This road, this kind, or this enemy is defeated, cast out only by fasting and prayers." How long? Until it's defeated. So, the word of God, as we read here, the last line of the chapter 9, "As the Lord has spoken," the Lord and the word of the Lord was fulfilled. And we move down to the verse number 7 of the chapter 10, something rather more interesting and unusual is here. And Pharaoh's servants said unto Pharaoh, How long shall this man, Moses, be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? These servants of Pharaoh realized that they are always getting into a snare whenever they follow the demands or the will of Satan and whenever they reject the will of the Lord. But remember Ahab the king? 400 prophets are saying, Go, thou shalt be victorious, thou shalt beat up Syrian armies until thou destroy them all the way. And there is one prophet of the Lord that says, I have seen Israel scattered over the mountains like sheep that have no shepherd. What does that mean? Who was supposed to be their shepherd? Ahab the king. And they have no shepherd. Ahab is dead. And what did Ahab do? He went into a snare. The will of the Lord was revealed to him. And the enticement of the evil spirit of Satan was before him. And he picked up the enticement. And he got into the snare. He bit the bait. Did not respect and obey the word of God. So, sometimes it seemed to me that through the thick darkness of sinful minds of people, a tiny ray of light is touching their mind. But the darkness prevails because they don't obey the Lord. That's that. Now, disobedience is darkness. And so Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? See, before he said, Go and serve the Lord in the land. And then he gave them another step of compromising, offered at least. He said, I'll let you go into the wilderness, but just don't go too far. Now he wants to know, which ones are those that will go? Satan would delight to see Christians leaving behind their children or the members of their family and pretend that they go out and serve the Lord, but they leave the members of their family behind. They don't witness to them. They don't reach out to them. They don't serve the Lord within the family. You know what that means? Not serving the Lord. If I leave my family behind, that means I want to get back. I'll return back. I'm not going for good. So, he asked, who are the ones that will go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds, will we go? For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. If we do not serve the Lord in everything that we have and toward everyone that we have, we are not really serving the Lord with our whole heart. So this is one of the marks of true devotions to the Lord. And I would say in my limited experience, this is something that I always need correction. It's just like sailing over a tempestuous sea and always looking back on the compass. Am I on the course or am I off the course? A very important thing in our spiritual life, in our walk with the Lord. And Pharaoh is answering, Let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Why were they driven out? Remember in the book of Esther, when King returned back from the garden and he saw Haman leaning on the bed of the Queen Esther. And the king said,
He will even force the queen here in my house.
That moment the servants covered the face of Haman and removed him from the presence of the king. That was the end of Haman. And these servants they just rushed Moses and Aaron out before Pharaoh would say something that would be death to Moses and Aaron. Why did they do so? Why not just kill Moses and Aaron and get rid of that problem? Because they were afraid the Lord that sent so many plagues can destroy Pharaoh and the land of Egypt. They feared the Lord. It's an amazing thing. If in a country there are just a handful of believers, just a few of them, and they hold the faith and they stand firmly on the foundation of the Word of God and they walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, that government, that country, that nation, they're afraid of them. It's not easy for me to understand that. The only explanation I can see that the Lord makes them afraid, and their Lord, Satan, makes them afraid too, because they don't want the truth to spread through their country. What if some of their trusted servants would get converted, like Saul of Tarsus got converted? We remember when an angel of the Lord opened the prison door and led the apostles out, and the priests and the rulers in Jerusalem sent their officers to bring the apostles to the council, to their congregation, to be judged there. And the officers did not find the disciples of the Lord in the prison. The prison was locked, everything seemed to be in order, but inside there was no one. How the rulers in Jerusalem were concerned and afraid. What's going to happen? What will come out of all of this? What if some of their servants are Christians too, and the rulers do not know that? And so on. Well, really, they should be afraid of not spreading the word of God, not receiving the message of the gospel. Well, the darkened mind of humanity often, almost without exception, will choose what is wrong. So, Pharaoh would like only men to go. Only those that really want to serve the Lord. Let them go and let them be satisfied. And let them come back and serve Pharaoh again. So, Satan would be probably glad to see us having some experience, some form of worship, some closeness with the Lord. But then, back to your slavery, back to sin. And then in the verse number 13, we see the locusts are coming and spreading all over the earth, destroying whatever is left of the crop and the fields in the land of Egypt. It's just an awful destruction. The verse number 16, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste. Didn't he say, "See my face no more"? I wonder if this time they were brought into the throne room of Pharaoh, or did Pharaoh talk to them through his servants. But in any case, Pharaoh said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you." Another confession, a false one again. He does not feel that he is really wrong. He's just looking for some way of deceiving them again. "Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once." What a liar. "And entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only." Again, this reminds me on what the demons or evil spirits talk to the Lord. "Oh, send us not into the bottomless pit." Can we enter into that herd of pigs? At least something, at least something. And And Moses went and entreated the Lord and so on. In the verse number 22. This preceding plague of the locusts is indicating destruction. Pharaoh said, "Let the Lord remove from me this death." It's very important for us, and even more so for those that are battling that steep battle against sin and striving to obey the word of God, to get separated from the world of sin. It's very important for all of us to see that this world is under the constant threat of destruction. The Lord is going to destroy this world. And if we can look at the world through the word of God with the eyes of faith, then we see that the world is in destruction. There is nothing in this world to keep us back from serving the Lord. In the verse number 22, we see the darkness coming over, a thick darkness coming over the land of Egypt. And they cannot do anything. They're powerless for 3 days. And everyone that can see this world as powerless, everyone that can see that there is total darkness in the world, will haste to the light that is in the Lord, in the Word of God. And so, they could not see one another, and really in this world, risking their lives for one another just to achieve some revolution and to gain the power and to accomplish what is their ideal or their trap, their snare actually. And then as soon as they gain the power, they start battling against one another. They betray one another. They lie to one another and they do all kind of awful things. And yesterday they were like inseparable comrades. Well, they're all alone. There is no true fellowship apart from the Lord. So, we read here that Pharaoh called for Moses and said, "Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed." Another step, another offer for compromise. Well, if you have to teach your children, if you have to witness to your elderly, if you have just to have all of your family in this worship of the Lord, go ye, I'll let you go. But your possessions, material possessions, let them stay back. And that's what Satan would like us to do, to profess Christianity, to read the Word of God, even to teach, even to witness to the others, and everything do in words, but not in deeds. Your possessions, your money, your plans, your long-time investments, everything must be in the world. The Lord has nothing to do with that. Well, we might give 10th part of that, or we might give occasionally a great donation just to be to look very good in the eyes of the others. But mainly, our possessions are in the world. We serve anybody but the Lord. We serve ourselves, or we serve the world, and we serve a green idol or any other idol, just not the Lord. Or we might serve also safety and security, good retirement, enjoyable life on this earth, anything, just anything, but not the Lord. And Moses said, "Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings." That's a true offering to the Lord, when everything that we have belongs to the Lord. He is the Lord and the master of everything. That is the true deliverance and separation and the true godliness. And Moses said, "Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. If there is anything that we claim as ours, we take it with us. Or if we claim to be ours anything that is not pleasing the Lord, leave it behind. It belonged to the Egyptians. It's going to be destroyed." And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. You see, when somebody is so stubborn, so hard-headed, the Lord will add to that stubbornness. Isn't that something that Paul the Apostle said, that to those that believe, we are a savor of life unto life, but to those that don't believe, a savor of death unto death. And somewhere by the end of the book of Revelation we read, and who is holy, let him be holy still. And who is, what is the other word? Oh, I should say evil, wicked, corrupted. Let him be corrupted still. Is the Lord saying to anybody, it's a wonderful thing, just be corrupted still more? No, no, no. What the Lord is saying to his people, when you see corruption in the world, let it be theirs. Don't partake of it. Don't have anything, any fellowship with darkness. And Pharaoh is furious. Pharaoh is angry. Get thee from me. Take heed to thyself. See my face no more. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. Now, when we see Satan this furious, then we know he is helpless. We know that he is helpless. When he is threatening so much, he is not able to do almost anything. Actually, he is not able to do anything anyway. Only as much as the Lord will allow, so that the power of God be manifested against the powers or forces of darkness. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. When we, in our journey, in our battle, in our strife, leaving the city of destruction and traveling toward the mountain of our salvation, when we see Satan's face no more on the throne, he is defeated. He is down. The next thing is a glorious deliverance. There was one more plague upon Pharaoh. The Lord is bringing Pharaoh down to his knees, off his throne, and down into the dust of the earth. Pharaoh has to be the one to say, go ye and leave my land and leave my people. Go out and serve the Lord. Take everything that you have. Take all of your people. Let none be left behind. Pharaoh has to be totally defeated. And even then is not the end of our strife. The powers of evil have to be put to death. Who is that Pharaoh on the throne of the hearts of unbelievers? Who is that Pharaoh that is deceiving those that are battling against sin? Is the old man of sin. That man has to be put to death and forever separated from the new man, that is new creature, new creation, new life in Christ. Only then we are on the other side of the Red Sea, as our fathers were all baptized, led by Moses through the Red Sea, led by the Lord himself. And we know not how much time is left, how soon the Lord will come, how soon each one of us will be called to give an account before the Lord. That, I think, is the song number 214 that says that death takes young and old. Only the Lord knows how soon we will have to leave this world. Let us haste, rush to answer this calling of our Lord. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Forsake the world with its vain show. be separated. Walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. Do not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So, if our bark is small and frail, only let the Savior be in control of it. As the disciples were educated in a way, or trained to see that with their own eyes, that when the Lord was, when they woke him up and they said, "Master, Master, we perish," the Lord just calmed the storm and the ship was quickly at the place which was their goal, their destination. Here is something else in that chapter 11. Verse 2, "Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold." And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. They were afraid of Moses. They were afraid of that rod that can turn into a snake. They were afraid of a prophet that proclaims, "Thus saith the Lord," and it happens. They were afraid of Moses, who said, "This is the next plague," and the plague come, and the Egyptians can offer sacrifices and call on the name of their idols and do all kind of things. Nothing can stop the hand of the Lord. They were afraid. And yet, the people found favor. Well, that happens so often when we were students or in the grade school. So often we found some teachers that favored the children of the Christians. They were more orderly, more obedient in the good things. They didn't cause problems and troubles as the children of the unbelievers, and so on. And also at our workplace, the employers will often prefer Christians because they will work faithfully, and so on. In this case, we see the children of Israel gathered jewels from the land of Egypt to take with them. The things that we can use to serve the Lord, the knowledge, the experience, the skills, and the earthly possessions of more lasting values, we can and we should take from the world and take with us. When I got converted, or any one of you, we didn't forget how to read, we didn't forget math, we didn't forget the things that we did. So the things that are not sinful in their nature, the things that we can use to serve the Lord, yes, we should take them and spoil this world. I'm not at all embarrassed from taking something from the world and using it for the ministry to serve the Lord, because this world is actually the possession, the rightful possession of the Lord. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. It's stolen from the Lord. It's taken by deception. And so, whatever we can use in purity, in true godliness, we should use it. May the Lord add to His word and bless His word in our hearts, that we may understand more and cleave to that more strongly than in my weakness I shared with you. And may the name of the Lord be honored and glorified. Amen.